Welcome to Center for Spiritual Living, Colorado Springs. I'm Reverend Norm Bouchard, Senior Minister. Thank you for joining our service today. We are so excited to share our community with you. You are joining with so many other people from all around the world who are all part of our virtual community. I'll be back with you at the end of the service to share with you many other resources and classes and podcasts and workshops and tools that will open you for a way to live your best life yet. Right now, I just invite you to sit back, open up your heart and your mind, and enjoy our service.
It gives me great honor and a pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today. So as we shift our energy towards our speaker and in this space, I'd like to introduce Bridget McCann, who is a practitioner at Mile High Church and is in her third and final year of ministerial studies. Congratulations. It's fantastic. A lot of work. She is currently an attorney with her own practice, working with immigrants at the intersection of family law and immigration law. Bridget speaks a great deal of Spanish and has worked with clients from at least 20 different nations across the globe. She believes passionately that diversity and inclusion must be a priority for all of us in New Thought, and looks forward to continuing her work with immigrants and refugees as she moves into ministry. Absolutely incredible. We're looking forward to hearing you speak to us today. Please join me in welcoming Bridget McCann.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. And I'm so happy to be with you here this morning. And I thank Reverend Norm for the invitation. And thank you for welcoming me into your community. I know Reverend Norm, this is January, so many of you who have been here know what that means. It's back to basics. It's something that many of our centers do. We take that time in January to remind ourselves what it is we're about, what we believe, what we try to effectuate in our lives and in our communities and in our world. And I've been in Science of Mind for, I think, about 13, 14 years, something like that. And I still love January and back to basics, because I think we can never remind ourselves often enough of just those basic spiritual truths, not just about the universe, but about ourselves too. So, let's see. All right. So this is a four-part series based on the introductory chapters written by Ernest Holmes and what we usually, mostly affectionately, call our textbook. Those four introductory chapters are the thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. Reverend Norm's already covered the first two, the thing itself and the way it works, and today I get to speak about what it does. And before I talk about what it does, it being spirit, I want to talk just very briefly about what it does not do, because I think that helps distinguish and helps us formulate a little better, more clearly, what it is it does. And I don't know about all of you, maybe some of you can relate. I come from a faith tradition in my youth that didn't really speak to me about what I considered to be God's love. And sometimes thinking, going over what spirit or God does not do helps me. So what it or spirit does not do? It does not hold grudges against us. It does not favor any one of us over anybody else. So we believe that there's no God up there that's going to favor people that practice one faith over another. We believe that all faith paths are just that, a path to God, because really it's the only place to go. So God doesn't play favorites. It never stops creating anywhere. It never stops loving. It never stops giving. And it doesn't dictate our lives for us, which is what we're going to talk about today, the fact that we get to co-create our lives. So it doesn't dictate every little element of our lives. And I think most importantly, it does not judge us. There's no God in the sky that's waiting for us to die one day that we have to answer to, and it's going to condemn us to hell if we didn't live up to its expectations. We believe that a God that is all loving and all giving could not possibly condemn its beloved children to a place like hell. So that's what it doesn't do. But what it does do is work and express in the world and in our lives through each one of us to the extent we participate in it. So we'll start with this quote from Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind text. The divine mind is infinite. It contains all knowledge and wisdom, but before it can reveal its secret, it must have an outlet. This outlet we shall be compelled to supply through our own receptive mentalities. So yes, spirit needs us. It needs us to be an outlet for it. It needs us to open to it and to welcome it in. It needs us to co-create with it in our lives and in our communities and in our world. So next, Ernest writes, we are surrounded by a mind or intelligence that knows everything, that the potential knowledge of all things exists in this mind, that we also exist in it and may draw from it. But what we draw from it, we must draw through the channel of our own minds. So that conduit, that outlet that it's looking for is our mind. Your mind, your unique individual mind, because each one of us has that unique individual mind. Each person's unique individual mind is that outlet through which it can express. A unity must be established and a conscious connection that must be made before we can derive the benefits which the greater mind will reveal or impart to us. And I want to focus here on those two words, unity and conscious. Unity must be established. Now, in reality, that unity is already established because we're already one with that spirit. Our mind, our individual minds participate in the one universal mind. So really that unity is already there, but I think what Ernest Holmes is trying to say about that unity must be established is really revealed in that word conscious connection. We have to be conscious of this connection and of this unity, because as Ernie writes elsewhere in The Science of Mind, trained thought, that conscious thought, is much more powerful than untrained thought, which actually we'll touch on a little bit later as well. But I think that conscious connection is the key. So five keys to what it does. First, how much are you willing to have? How much are you, each one of us, willing to have? Mental work is definite. And we're going to talk about each one of these today. Mental work is definite. You are infinite possibility. Active treatment or prayer, not passive treatment, is more powerful. And lastly, no limit to your thoughts. So these are the five keys I'm going to go over today about what it does. And remember that the big umbrella, what it does is it waits for us to co-create with it. That's what it does. It waits for us to provide that outlet so it can express in our lives and in the world. And these are the five keys for playing our role in what it does. So first, how much are you willing to have? How much are you willing to have? The divine incarnation is inherent in our nature. We are immersed in an infinite knowingness. The question is, how much of this reality are we going to express in our lives? For it will do only what we tell it to do. So the shirt sums it up, right? I am so the boss of you. And the you is spirit. Now, I know that may be a big thing to say. What, I'm the boss of spirit? Sounds kind of like we're placing ourselves above spirit, but we're not. What we're really saying is, it's waiting for us to say, like, look, I'm here. What do you want? Just tell me already. What do you want in your life? That's how we're the boss of it. Because it can't express until we give it that outlet. And tell it what to do, what we want in our lives. Next, Ernest writes, the spirit can give us only what we can take. It imparts itself only as we partake of its nature. It can tell us only what we can understand. So in this, Regina mentioned I'm an attorney, and so I'm going to borrow from that for a minute. This idea that it imparts itself only as we partake of its nature, and it can give us only what we can take, reminds me of this concept in the law about transferring land title. So here in this country, having been a British colony, we get a lot of our law from British common law. And way back, how you transferred title to land was you had a deed. Most of us probably know what a deed to land is. And you wrote, I, Bridget McCann, transfer, describe the land, to Mary Jane Smith, okay? And I have that deed in my hand, and I go to Mary Jane Smith. I say, here, I'd like to give you this land. Here's the deed. But by law, that transfer is not complete until Mary Jane actually accepts that deed from me. I cannot make a gift of land until the other person accepts it. So just like that's in our law, I don't know what else to call it, our human law, it's true in spiritual law. God can't make that gift to us until we accept it. The universe is impersonal. It gives to all alike. It is no respecter of persons. It values each alike. Its nature is to impart, ours is to receive. So this no respecter of persons, I'm pretty sure Reverend Norm covered this already in one of his talks this month, but it's kind of related to what I said spirit doesn't do, right? It doesn't play favorites. So any notion we have that God might favor one over another, it just doesn't do that. I mean, how could it? If God made all of us from itself, because it's the only thing it has to work from, its nature, its substance is the only material it had to create from, if that is true, and we do believe that, then how could it play favorites? You know, I heard it once put as the picture God has a picture of every single one of us, a picture of every single one of you on its mantle. So we're all the beloved. And it doesn't matter who we are, or what we do. God knows we're not what we did. We're not what we might have said last week that we feel bad about. You know, God still loves us, so it's no respecter of person. And this is true for this process of co-creating as well. That we're all equally powerful to co-create, to help God express in our lives. No respecter of persons, no favorites. So the next principle we're working here, the next key to understanding what it does, is mental work is definite. And Ernest Holmes writes, mental work is definite. Each state of thought taps the same principle, each uses the same law, is inspired by the same spirit, but each draws for a different result. Get clear, and the law will respond. So first of all, what we mean by mental work is everything we do to create our consciousness. And a big tool for us, of course, is affirmative prayer. But what Ernest means by definite is really two things. Mental work, or the state of our consciousness creating, is first definite in that the law, the spiritual law that helps us create, always works. It's always work. It's reliable. It's never not working. And it's also definite in the sense that it's very precise. Hence the last sentence, get clear and the law will respond. You need to be really clear about what it is you want. Because the spiritual law that we're working with can only respond to our consciousness. And if we're not clear, we're just going to make a mess, right? It's like, okay, you want this? Oh, wait, no, over here. Okay, and it's going to like, oh, I don't know what you want. And then our life looks like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. So we have to be precise. We have to be clear. It wishes to express through us. The one who wishes to demonstrate some particular good must become conscious of this particular good if he wishes to experience it. So what that means, but whatever it is, whatever good thing you want to draw into your life, that particular good that you're wanting, that you're clear about, you have to know the truth of it. We have to know it exists. It already exists. I'm just creating an outlet. I'm just creating a conduit for it to come into my life and express. So that's what it means by becoming conscious of that particular, clear good, that definite good that we want. And so our third key, you are infinite possibility. Yes, you, every single one of you, no respecter of persons, every single one of us are infinite in possibility. And we're infinite in our possibility because our mind that we use to help us create is part of that universal mind, which of course is infinite. You know, this from Thomas Edison. Whoops, I'm sorry. This is the one I want. Okay. We are surrounded by an infinite possibility. It is the goodness, law, and reason. Life always becomes to us the particular thing we need when we believe that it becomes to us that particular thing. And that last sentence is probably my favorite sentence in the whole book, so I'm going to read it again. Life always becomes to us the particular thing we need when we believe that it becomes to us that particular thing. Always, it's definite, that particular thing. concrete, clear. And you know, science, there's a lot of people out there, really smart, inquisitive people out there, that are now starting, for quite a while, but even more so now, I think, starting to reveal this connection, this oneness between science and religion, between spirituality and science. And I think a field where that's particularly evident is quantum physics. So I'm a bit of a science geek, so I love paying attention to this stuff. And what quantum physics is teaching us is that there is a field, they call it the field of infinite potentiality. I don't know where this field is. I don't even know if it exists. I think it exists everywhere. I'm not quite clear on that. But there is somewhere, somehow, in some dimension, this field of infinite potentiality. And that every potential for everything in the universe exists in these quantum waves of potential, of possibility. But then they go on to say that somehow, and this might be still a mystery to physicists, somehow how a certain possibility collapses, they say, collapses. It becomes a real thing in a time and a place. Well, that collapse is probably what we would call manifestation. So quantum physics teaches there's a field that's just absolutely infinite. Every single possibility exist within it, and when we observe it, they say, when it is observed, when a particular potential or a particular possibility is observed, it collapses into existence. But doesn't that sound like what we're talking about? And we observe with our consciousness, with the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs about a thing, about that particular thing, that particular good that you want in your life, that's how you observe it, and that's how you make it collapse. That's how you manifest it out of that quantum field. And that power to observe and therefore collapse, like I said, is the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. And it's that belief. You have to believe that thing exists in your life to make it manifest. So speaking of scientists, right? Thomas Edison, when you've exhausted all possibilities, remember this. You haven't. Right? So if we're talking about infinite, that's exactly what it means, infinite. You can take 1, 10, 1,000, 1,000,000 whatevers from infinite, and it's still infinite. Or as I like to say, it's not pi, right? Like, God's love is not a pie. God's creativity is not a pie. It doesn't have some boundaries around it. We're like, oh my God, you know, I've given out a few pieces today. I only have a couple pieces left. It's not a pie. It's infinite. You could take as much as you want, and there's more and more and more. So our fourth point today, active treatment, not passive. Treatment is an active thing. When one gives a treatment, they are not sitting around hoping that something may happen. He is definitely, constructively, actively stating, sensing, knowing some specific good. So why is it active? It's active because you have to choose. You have to be clear. You have to choose what it is you want from that infinite field. And because it's infinite, you can choose whatever you want. And it's active, it's active in that's the sense that we have to choose, but it's also active in the sense that we have to create that consciousness, right? We have to create that mold. We often say in this teaching that we create the mold for what it is we want in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. and spirit pours itself into that mold. So, you know, the potter doesn't create a mold by sitting at its potter's wheel and going, there's all the pieces I need, there's all the substances I need, and then just thinks about it. It does have to think about it to create that image, but it has to actively create that mold, and that's what we're doing. Treatment or affirmative prayer is an active thing. It helps us create that mold. And I would say it's also active in that it might be ongoing for a little while. You know, we have old habits, we have old false beliefs, so you might have to make that mold more than once. Because it's pretty easy sometimes to fall back into our old habits, those old false beliefs. Or another way we put it sometimes in this teaching is you might have to pull that weed several times before you really get it. So it's active in that you have to choose. It's active in that you have to actually create in your consciousness the mold. And it's active in the sense that you might have to make that mold a few times to eliminate that old habit, that false belief. A passive treatment will never produce an active demonstration any more than an artist can paint a picture without sitting down with his paints but never using them. You must know and believe. So the artist is my potter, right? You're not going to do any good just sitting there with your paints and not doing anything. You have to paint. You have to build the mold. And you must know what mold you're building. Gets back to the idea of being clear. So affirmative prayer, that's one of the ways we build that mold, right? So I'm just going to briefly go through. We teach 5 steps of affirmative prayer. For those of you who know, this will be a great refresher. And for those of you who don't know, this is a great introduction into what one of the great tools we use in this teaching, affirmative prayer. The first step is recognition, which is simply just recognizing that God is. You can use whatever helps you do that. In our prayer this morning, we heard references to the tremendous beauty that we are so fortunate to live in. You can think of the love of your family. I like to think of the pictures from the Hubble telescope because they just blow my mind. And now I'm looking forward to the pictures from the James Watt telescope. But recognizing that God is and that it's infinite. And all the qualities of God that you want to focus on, just think of those. So that's recognition. Second, unification. This is when we remind ourselves or just sit in that space of knowing that we are unified with that force and that power that we just recognized. And we're not just connected to it like a power cord that plugs in. We're not just connected to, we're part of and an expression of. Perhaps you've heard, I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh who said, enlightenment is when the wave realizes it's the ocean. And I love that, because that's what unification is realizing we are a wave in the ocean of the divine. That means we have all the power of the ocean, of the divine. That means we have all the qualities of the ocean of the divine, and that's our unification. The third step is realization. This is where you're calling in that particular well-defined good that you want. You're affirming it. You're affirming, like, I already know it exists, and now I know that it's in my life right now. But one thing we don't teach in realization is to then tell God how to do it. Okay, so I'm accepting this particular good in my life, and these are the 20 steps I have to take to do it. Well, don't script it out. Just accept it. Now, you may thereafter receive some intuition about how to help manifest that in your life. Then absolutely, follow your intuition. But don't say beforehand, I'm going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and then I'm going to have this thing. Accept it and then follow guidance on how to actually manifest it. And then just be grateful. Be grateful for spirit. Be grateful for this good that's coming into your life right now. Be grateful for all of it. Be grateful for that thing, that good, now. As if you have it now. Because it exists in that infinite field, right? And you've just started the work to collapse it. So be grateful for it. And then release. That means release your prayer, release your words into that creative law, and let it do what it does best. Just let it go. You know, prayer can become a kind of worry sometimes if you pray for the same thing over and over. Oh, I'm going to pray. Well, now you're just worrying. So you might have to pray a few times to get clear on your mold that you're creating or to pull those false beliefs. But don't pray from a place of doubt that I don't really think I'm worthy, so therefore I'm going to pray for this. Have some faith and release it and let it work for you. So the fifth key. No limit to your thought. There's no limit to your thought, my thought, because our mind is, again, part of and participates in the infinite mind. So there's infinite possibilities. And if there are infinite possibilities, shouldn't you kind of dream big? Go for it, right? Right now, there's no limit. So dream as big as you want. If a man is seeking to demonstrate, he must tell himself that he has faith in his power and his ability. Faith, being a mental attitude, is according to law. And even though one doubts, he can overcome his doubts and create the desired faith definitely. And we're not talking about doubting God. We're talking about doubting our own power, our own creativity. And that can happen. It does happen. But I would encourage you, if you find yourself in that place, if you find yourself doubting your creative power or your power to co-create, you can pray. You can pray just to have faith in yourself and remember you're a wave in the ocean of the divine. That means you're powerful. Waves create. Each one of us, each one of you can create. Another thing you might do when you find yourself doubting your power, your creativity, is to remember your old faith. I do this sometimes. This is a tool I use a lot when I'm finding myself in a place of doubting my divine nature to co-create. I just sit and I remember what it felt like when I had absolute faith and no doubt. I just sit and I remember what it felt like in those moments when I knew beyond a doubt that I was one with my Creator. And I just let myself remember that feeling. And that helps renew my faith. And I have found that actually each time I go through this, I come out the other side with an even stronger faith. So that's one way to help you move through doubt. Another way is to borrow the faith of somebody else. That's what we do when we work with a practitioner. Maybe you've forgotten your true nature. Maybe you've forgotten that you're powerful, and creative. Maybe you've had something happen in your life that kind of brought you down and is making you feel small. Well, work with a practitioner, because that's what our practitioners do. They're here and dedicated and have committed to remembering who you are when you can't. So working with a practitioner is another way to help you move through this doubt and return to a place of faith in knowing your creative power. Here and now, we are surrounded by and immersed in an infinite good. How much of this infinite good is ours? All of it. And how much of it may we have to use? As much of it as we can embody. As much of it as we can embody. So it's up to each one of us, right? It's up to each one of us, how much good are we going to accept? So how much good are you going to accept into your life?
All of it.
All of it. I like that answer. Absolutely. All of it. Because it's all there. And what does it do? Kind of recap, what does it do? It waits for each of us. It waits for each one of you to co-create with it, to give it some instruction. Tell it what it's due. Be the boss. So, our five keys. How much are you willing to have? All of it. Your mental work is definite. It's definite in the sense that it always operates. And it's definite in the sense that be clear about what you want. The third key, you are infinite possibility because you participate in that infinite mind. You get to participate in that quantum field of infinite potentiality and direct what is going to collapse or manifest out of that. And you do that through your active consciousness building, your active building the mold, your active choosing. And when you do all this, remember there's no limit. No matter how much you take, there's more because it's infinite. You could take as much as you want and it's still infinite, just like this amazing principle of math that I don't know if I will ever completely understand, but I know it's true. So that's the five keys. To us, working with spirit to do what it does, to co-create in our lives. So let us turn to prayer now. Thank you, practitioners. In the stillness of this sacred space, and in the love of this beloved community, of Center for Spiritual Living, Colorado Springs. And that love that is here present in the people physically here, the people watching online, the people watching later. I know that all of us help build this field and help us remember that all givingness, that all love of the one spirit, the one creator, that force and energy and power in the universe that maybe has a thousand names in different cultures across the planet, but has no name. Because it is simply the one. It is powerful, it is beautiful, it is giving, it is love. And every time I look outside my windows and I see those mountains, I'm reminded of that power and that grace of that one life. Every time I hear a child laughing, I'm reminded of the joy of God. Every time I see a couple looking at each other tenderly, I'm reminded of the love of God expressing through each one of us. And I know my place in it, and I know the place in it of every single person here and every person who hears my voice either today or sometime in the future. And every single one of us is an outlet for that divine love, that divine givingness. And so I declare for each one of us that power to co-create, that power to manifest in our lives, and that each person comes to a conscious awareness of that good they're calling into their life. And whatever it is, I fold that into this prayer, knowing that it is made manifest. And I'm grateful. Grateful for all of it. Grateful for spirit. Grateful for the prayers. Grateful for every person who has decided to say yes and accept more good into their life, into the life of their community, into the life of our planet, in our world, in our one human family. So with gratitude and with faith, I release these words, knowing that words have power because they help create that consciousness, and they create that consciousness in my mind right now. So yes, I release because I have faith. I release to God's law that simply says yes. Knowing it is done in spirit and it is done in form, I release, I let go, and I let God, and so it is.
Thank you for being a part of our virtual community today. I hope you enjoyed our service. We realize that you have many choices in your spiritual quest, and for that very reason, we want you to explore our community. Have you ever had the feeling that you want more out of life, more prosperity, more of who you are called to be? Well, you have found the right place. We at Center for Spiritual Living Colorado Springs teach a powerful set of spiritual principles that have continued to change so many people's lives for the better. Imagine living the changes you want to see in the world without fear or guilt or past experiences. We invite people through classes and podcasts and workshops, services, and personal spiritual development to discover how powerful and prosperous you really are. Our resources are available in person or virtual. Check out our website, and I invite you to engage in all of our resources. Join us in creating your best life yet. I look forward to seeing you again and again.